¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkondorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening Colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today, I'm very pleased to say, is Matt Harris, founder of both Thunderbird Chicken, the fried chicken restaurant, and the Pickle brand Pickle Project, on the cusp of achieving his dream of a professional motorsport career. After success in the UK and Europe led to a scholarship to race NASCAR in the US, Matt's hopes were crushed when the 2008 recession caused his sponsorship to collapse. Traveling the Deep South, following the races, and as Matt says, trying to beg my way behind the wheel, Matt fell in love with barbecue and fried chicken and the culinary craftsmanship that didn't exist in the UK, and he sought to try and recreate it. Tinkering with recipes using the same scientific mindset he once applied to race cars, Matt launched the street food truck Barbecue Lab in London with his breakthrough Chipuffalo Wings. Make sure I've said that properly. He'll tell me later. Chipuffalo Wings, winning best wings at London Wing Fest, the largest chicken wing festival in the world. Who knew? The success led him to found Thunderbird, now a 15-site fried chicken chain in 2017. And unable to find a decent pickle to go in Thunderbird's burgers, he decided to make his own and indeed launched another business, Pickle Project, with his fiancée, Heidi, in 2024. You'd obviously like food. It's very nice to have you here. Are you a foodie? You must be.
I am definitely a foodie, yeah.
Not just chicken and pickles?
Not just chicken and pickles.
What is the best meal for you? What does the ideal meal look like for you, Matt?
Oh, roast dinner, obviously.
Really?
Yes.
Lamb?
Mix.
Mix of beef?
Greedy.
Bit of beef?
Greedy. Bit of beef, porchetta. Yeah.
A lot.
You're very greedy.
But I love the fact I haven't met many people that were almost... You know, Formula 3, Porsche, NASCAR, you're almost a racing driver. That's quite exciting. And now you make food.
Almost a racing driver, yes.
Well, you were a racing driver.
I was. I was almost a successful professional racing driver, but unfortunately the world got in the way of that one. But I'd started out in racing in go-karts as a kid and progressed up from there. So raced in lots of different sort of junior Formula E, got as far as F3, ran out of money, went into endurance racing, raced Porsches all over the place, and then... All the stars aligned and I had this opportunity to go out and do a scholarship in the US to race in NASCAR, which is like, yeah, dream come true, awesome stuff. So
the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing.
Yes.
I'm reliably informed.
Well, part of the reason for that scholarship was it's sort of very rednecky, famously oval racing, Deep South, you know, throwing beer at each other in the grandstands, that kind of stuff. And at the time, they were looking for a bit less of that kind of Ricky Bobby vibe and were looking for people with accents. And I can, you know, really dial up the poshness.
That's wonderful. I mean, obviously, you must live in Chiswick.
Yes, indeed. And they were looking for, you know, people with accents who'd been successful abroad. And like I said, all the stars aligned. So got on my plane, and as the plane wheels hit the ground, everyone went foreclosure, foreclosure, foreclosure in the Deep South. And
this is 2008.
2008, and yeah. The rug was ripped out from under me. So
yeah.
Before you know it, I'm there with a year's visa, but no money. And
what is it like? I mean, that must have been incredibly heartbreaking, frankly. I mean, I can't imagine what that felt like. But before you go there... Because the tears are going to brew. We don't want tears too early. What's it like driving a car really fast? I mean, I am really scared. I'm an unbelievably tentative driver. You know, not tentative, but I know that I'm not brilliant at controlling cars at a fast speed. I've tried a Porsche on a track once, and it was a laugh, but I had someone sitting there, you know, guiding me. What's the buzz like, if you could describe it in words?
Firstly, actually, as a side job, I used to be the guy in the passenger seat, and I can tell you that is terrifying.
When
you
get some random idiot who's just bought a new McCann.
Yes.
And then gets to go for a special treat, theoretically, of course, at Silverstone on the sidetrack.
Some guy screaming brake from the passenger seat and grabbing the steering wheel. Yeah, that was me. I loved it.
Give me a sense. What's the speed thing like for a driver? Why were you so drawn to driving?
Initially, it was watching F1 on the sofa with my old man when I was a kid, and seeing Nigel Mansell and Senna and Prost and all those legends, and I got really, really into it. And we did a bit of go-karting, and it was successful, and then it sort of developed from there.
What I'm interested in.
Well, I loved the sensation of driving, and I have so many of those photographic memories of watching the car in front of me bouncing over a curb and blasting sparks out from underneath it and flames shooting out the exhaust pipes, and you get all these there's so many sensations. Even there's a track called Brands Hatch where you go down a really steep hill back up the other side. At the bottom, all the little Formula cars would bottom out, and they've got a wooden plank underneath, and it reeks of sawdust at the bottom of this hill from all the cars burning as they're hitting the ground. It's so exciting. And so many of the things that I saw and experienced are just unforgettable. The dream is always to go back into it, but unfortunately it is a extremely rich man's sport.
Stay with me to find out much more about my driving legend. I've just promoted you, Matt Harris. Apart from being he was the driver, and he almost would have been famous, I'm sure. He's here with me talking about Thunderbird, and that's a beautiful fried chicken shop restaurant, and also talking about pickles, and that's the Pickle Project. And we're going to be hearing lots more about how he's a bit obsessive about making food taste delicious in the same way he probably was about driving. I wanted to just talk about that disappointment for a moment, though, because I think out of adversity comes opportunity. You must have been in a very low place, joking aside, when it was like your dream is smashed. How does one pick oneself up from that? How did you pick yourself up and then go, do you know what? I love chicken and I'm in the South and I'm enjoying it. I'm going to start a food business at some point. How does that happen?
I would say not as organically as you might think. I mean, I initially, I wasn't hit so hard with, oh no, it's all over. I still had this sort of eternal optimism of, I'll make it work. So I thought, I'll find some way to get behind the wheel of a car again. So I started traveling around the South with my year's visa, trying to sort of beg, borrow, steal my way behind the wheel of a car. And I did ultimately do 8 laps in NASCAR, and it was friggin' awesome. But that was it. So eventually that did hit home, and I thought, well, damn, what am I going to do? Came home, got a degree, got a rubbish job in media sales, and passionately hated my life.
But it passionately, at least.
I did, extremely passionately.
I mean, you really did. You maxed out on the passion for not liking your life.
Indeed.
But there's, again, serious point in there. You're like, you knew you weren't doing the right thing for you.
No, absolutely. I mean, I had this sort of North Star that I'd focused on for my whole life of, this incredible career. And then it was gone. But I kept thinking back to what I'd really loved from the US, and that was the food that I'd encountered over there. So sort of fried chicken and American barbecue. To me, I'd had ribs in TGI Fridays. I'd had maybe KFC like 2-3 times. That was it. And then whereas over there, when I was traveling, a bit like accents change every 100 miles in the UK, the styles of fried chicken and barbecue change over there, but they're like religious about using a particular kind of wood in their smokers, or, it's got to be pork or beef or whatever. I loved all of that stuff, and I found it fascinating. So when I came home, while I had this horrible job, I started cooking in the background. And then I very quickly went off the deep end in sort of food science. So using that engineering mindset that I have from racing, where to get the car to go fast, you have to kind of understand how everything works, because every nut and bolt is adjustable. Looking at the car holistically, of a little adjustment at the front might make the back of the car handle very differently in a corner. So you apply that to cooking in a really simple sense. You put a steak on a pan. You want the outside nice and brown and crispy and the inside nice and pink and juicy. So how do I make outside crispier, inside juicier? Before you know it, there's flamethrowers and liquid nitrogen and all kinds of stuff in the kitchen. It's just like, what is happening here?
It's a garage. Garage for food.
Yeah, my flatmates were like, what the hell is this? But, they ate some delicious meals and some not delicious meals, but that was part of the fun of experimenting. I loved it. And around that time, street food was just the coolest thing in the world. It was like late 2013-ish, and Twitter was blowing up, and I had this idea that maybe street food would be something really fun to do. So one night I got drunk and bought an ambulance on eBay, I think because sober me didn't really have the cojones to do it. Drunk me was just like, yeah, why not?
So you bought an ambulance?
Yes.
And that became the barbecue lab?
Correct. Yeah, the next morning was a bit of like, what have I done?
How do you pick up an ambulance from eBay? Do you have to go and collect the thing?
Yeah.
So it didn't get driven to you?
No. Some guy was using it as a mobile bicycle repair shop. So, I mean, it was horrendous. But I got a mate to fit it out with some domestic kitchen cupboards and do a bit of wiring. Off I went and embarked on street food.
And Ripple Dissolve, you win. I love this, that there's something called Wing Fest.
Yeah.
And you win the award for the best wings.
Yeah. So that sort of sciencey recipe stuff that works in my head pervaded through the whole menu. I did a different menu every single day, which is a fabulously stupid idea, I can confirm. It was so hard. But I loved it. It was all about experimentation. And I really got a kick out of sort of breaking down a recipe into its core components, understand how every little bit works, and then make them better, put it back together. So that was kind of the idea with those wings, is take a traditional buffalo wing, break down every single ingredient, try and make it a bit better, put it back together. And then Wingfest was coming up, and I thought, oh, this might be fun, might make a few hundred quid. You know, it's a good day out, doing a bit of street food stuff, and then we won it. I was like, oh.
He's on the podium.
He's on the podium.
Number one, holding it aloft.
Indeed, my favourite trophy ever. Apart from it did melt in a fire.
The trophy?
Yeah. Yeah. Later in the street food career, a place called Dinorama burnt down, which was a bit sad. But anyway, so that one is gone.
You're listening to Matt Harris talking about trying to eat a trophy. And that's what happens, Matt, when you cook a trophy. That's experimentation gone too far. Stay with me for much more from my guest today. It's Matt Harris, and he's the founder of Thunderbird and the Pickle Project, and he's an experimenter at heart. Right now, though, and he'll be back in a couple of minutes, I said, but right now we're going to hear a taster from the Michigan Innovation Series, which you can find on all the major podcast platforms. Lydia Kellett invites business founders to share their practical advice and industry insights for those of you thinking about starting your very own thing. In this clip, we hear from Tarek Ralph, architect and founder and CEO of Catalog, a digital work hub aiming to give people a radically simpler way to coordinate work.
The Michigan Innovation Series. Inspiration from founders of cutting-edge businesses. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Michigan Dereya.
I think founding your own business has a lot to do with understanding what you're looking to do in founding a business. Like, why do you do it? Betting on yourself and acquiring all the skills necessary to build a team, build a product, market it, raise the capital. It can be quite a lot of friction, but it can also be quite a lot of fun. And if you know why you're doing it, it gets a lot easier. I've always been interested in making and building things, which is where I got into architecture, which is where I've been making software. And so a large parts of my job don't feel like a job. The parts that, you know, running a company is still, there's a million friction points every day. There's friction with customers, there's friction with product, there's friction with all kinds of, you know, unforeseen issues that pop up every now and then. But when you find joy in the act of building, which is what I do, it just becomes a necessary pain on the side effect. And so knowing why you're building a company, why you want to start a business, and what you're looking to get out of it, and having clarity around that generally helps quite a bit.
The Michigan Innovation Series, in association with Jazz Shapers, with Michigan Dereya.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Michigan Dereya. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast. And you can hear this very program again now in the 14th year, on the 14th day of the month. Happy Valentine's Day if you're celebrating. I hope you are. If you pop Jazz Shapers into your favorite podcast platform, my guest today is Matt Harris, founder of both Thunderbird Chicken, the fried chicken restaurant, and the pickle brand Pickle Project. So you talk about experimentation, which I love. Is it true that a driver, and now a restaurateur and a maker of different sorts of food, might be slightly obsessive?
Yes.
It's okay. It's a good label. But in that, there's a really interesting thing, because I imagine the answer to that question would be yes. In German, the word for search and the word for obsession is actually the same thing, which I kind of thought was interesting. It
very
feels
appropriate.
Very appropriate. Is there a buzz in the search for the ideal, the perfect ingredients and the perfect spices that you use? Is there something in that which is similar to you perfecting the way that you got the car to drive and the way that you actually drove it?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I find it fascinating understanding how things work. And then it's only really when you understand how they work that you can then make them better.
Have you always been like that since you were a kid?
No, I think that probably developed from the motor racing. And it was probably towards the latter years of that career that where sometimes I'd find a bit of a there was a bit of a gulf between what I was trying to say to the engineers and what they were hearing and what they could then apply. So I ended up trying to get them to explain a shock absorber does X, Y, and Z, and we can adjust it this way and blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, right, okay, well, we need to do that. Okay. And then suddenly it starts working. And then you can apply that into just about anything you do.
Yeah. And were people explaining the whole cooking process to you, or have you learnt this on your own?
No. Books, internet, experimentation, messing around, having fun, learning stuff. Just make it up as you go along.
And now we're 8 years into Thunderbird Chicken. You're in 16 locations?
50.
15. I've just given you an extra one. Well done.
Thank you.
We just opened it together. What should we do? I'm on 50. Wonderful. 50. That'd be great. 15 different sites. I think a number of them are within the Park Dean resorts, the Park Dean park places. What's it like now? You've got this machine. It's a thing. Are you clear about all the moving pieces? Do you know how all of them work? Are there things that you continue to manipulate, as it were, to improve?
Yes. As a founder, you're kind of doing everything initially. You know, for the pickles, for example, today I'm finance director, tomorrow I'm the plumber, everything. So we now have a very good team with Thunderbird, which means I'm a little bit more surplus to requirements. So we've got a great finance director, marketing director, you know, all these people who look after everything. So from a sort of an operational day-to-day perspective, the business is in really, really good hands. The challenge that we're facing as a business, though, is that there has been a big American invasion. So when I started this back in like 2017, we didn't have Popeyes or Wingstop or Slim Chickens, or now there's Chick-fil-A is coming, there's Dave's Hot Chicken. We've got, you know, we're at a point of oversaturation on most high streets in the UK already. So as a small business trying to grow, they've suddenly come in with tens, hundreds of millions. That's really, really difficult for us. So we're actually pivoting a little bit as a brand, and we're launching a like Thunderbird's little brother or sister called Strip Shack, which is a much more pared down version, which is sort of designed for grab and go locations and places where you're not going to have a giant, you know, 6,000 square foot Popeyes next to it, to try and go to places, you know, stations and airports and all those sorts of things.
And is that happening already? Strip Shack out
there? That is happening already, yeah, which is really exciting. So we've got a couple of operating as dark kitchens. There's one up with Park Dean up in Northumberland, which is slightly inconvenient from London, but still.
Time to think on the way up there.
Indeed. Yeah. But it's really, really exciting. And we see a huge opportunity for that one.
And where did that idea come from, Matt? Was it simply needs must?
Actually, the idea came from a fryer. We found a fryer that doesn't need extraction. So one of the big barriers to us opening restaurants in places is getting enough extraction to remove all that oily air from the fryers. And we found one that's got built-in extraction. So we sort of built the whole business around that concept. So going into, you know, little places around, you know, London Bridge Station, you take over one of those old vape shops or a phone repair shop or something like that. We can put a little Strip Shack into there. You know, you only need a couple of staff. The fit out is relatively inexpensive. And while it might only take 10, 15 grand a week, you can really scale those up very, very quickly and make a really good living off it. So again, we're very excited about that opportunity. And not to diminish anything Thunderbird is doing, I still think Thunderbird Fried Chicken has its place and is brilliant, and our restaurants are doing great. But looking at, you know, some high streets where you've got three fried chicken shops next to each other, that's a tough battle to go and fight.
But he's found the place through a fryer. And through the actual utility of the fryer, there you go. He really does know his business. Matt Harris is my business shaper. Thunderbird Chicken, Strip Shack, and the Pickle Project, and there's probably another one coming before the end of this program. You talked about the team and the juxtaposition with the founder playing every single role. What kind of leader are you? Have you looked at other people and go, I want to be like that? Or is it just, I deal with what I need to deal with?
That's a very good question. I've definitely got better at the leadership side of things. I don't think I was especially inspiring sometimes in the past.
Are you happier in the gadgety bit? Are you happier playing and fixing stuff rather than this person, you need to do that and I need to empower you? Is that not really your thing?
That's not really my thing, although I'm a lot better at it than I was in the past. I've learned to deal with that a lot better. I think in my head, I've always assumed that I've been very lucky in that I can pick things up very quickly and sort of learn to fix sort of problems and so on. I kind of always assume that everyone else is just going to be able to do exactly the same, just as fast, work just as hard, and it doesn't
quite work that way. No.
So now getting a lot better at that aspect of it.
So the bit I was thinking about you, I imagine you spend a lot of your time thinking about how you want to improve things, even when you're not quote unquote at work, which is very normal for a founder anyway. But is that true?
Absolutely.
Are you always thinking about?
Constantly. Yeah. Particularly now with the new pickle business and doing things my own slightly daft way. You know, we've been using ultrasound to make the brine for our pickles, which is very unconventional.
What? Sorry, hold on. Ultrasound to make brine. Why would you use ultrasound to make brine?
So,
the brief answer.
The brief answer.
As you go, so, well, there's a manual actually I've written here, Elliot. It's 17 pages. We could be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But so, in simple terms.
Well, the genesis of the idea for Pickle Project was I'd been looking for good pickles to go in the burgers for Thunderbird for a couple of years, and also kind of looking for something else for my brain to get really focused on. And I realized that all the pickles that were available to us were not great. And in my head, you know, I remembered going on a Walmart in the US and there's a quarter mile long shelf of pickles. And then you go to, you know, my big local Sainsbury's and there's maybe a foot and a half wide shelf with a couple of jars. And I thought, oh my God, well, there's a huge opportunity here. So then I started playing around with some recipes and stuff. And if you really break it down to its core components, what are pickles? Well, it's a vegetable in a delicious liquid. Who makes the most delicious liquids? Cocktail nerds, or I should probably call them mixologists or whatever they prefer. And I found that quite a lot of them are using ultrasound. So you vacuum pack your raspberries and then put them in a bath with water and then blast it with high intensity sound waves.
What does a sound wave do?
It creates cavitation in the water, which is kind of like it sounds, little cavities. So tiny little voids in the water. And as they implode on themselves, they create shock waves, which then helps shatter stuff out of other stuff. So scaled that up. Now I've got a massive tank that I think it was sold for like cleaning car parts. Like, you know, you put a lorry gearbox in it and it blasts all the dirt off. But it'll do the same thing if you put spices and seasonings and stuff. So you get tons of extraction. Whereas traditionally, if you're making pickles, it's, you know, cucumbers, vinegar, water, salt, sugar, and then some seeds. But, you know, nature's designed a coriander seed or a black peppercorn to grow into a plant. So all of the nutrients and stuff are locked up inside.
So this explodes them out, basically, and then gives you the flavor.
It gives you tons and tons of flavor. Wow. And then also looked at what are the core components of the flavor. So dill, for example, has phylandrine and limonene and carvone and all these different flavors. So you look at other flavors that are complementary to that, and that's led us down a really interesting path. If there are some other ingredients in there, like we use a tiny bit of mint and cardamom, and there's some licorice root and things that you wouldn't traditionally expect, all in very small amounts, but it just amplifies that pickly flavor to make the pickliest pickles we can possibly pickle.
Pickles we can possibly pickle.
Yeah.
And I've just learned.
That's your new voice.
No, that is. Welcome back to Pickles That Could Possibly Pickle. That's amazing. Wow. I mean, I've just never gone so deep inside of a jar of pickles, but now I feel like I have. Final chat with my guest today, Matt Harris, is coming up very shortly, and we can hear more about the tank if we so desire, and the explosions. And we've got some music from Jordan Racco. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkonda Raya. It's business, but it's personal.
Matt Harris, my business shaper. Thunderbird Chicken, The Pickle Project, and Strip Shack, which is the future, I think sounds like a really good idea. I love the way you get into all this, and it is kind of engineering and science, as you said, meets taste, which is fab. Where does it go from here, Matt? If we're having a conversation in 5 years, what's the shape of this universe you're creating going to look like? What's Strip Shack going to be? Is Thunderbird Chicken still going to be there in this guise, do you reckon? And what about the Pickle Project? What's going to happen?
Sincerely hope so. Despite everything I've said about, you know, sort of always having a plan or a goal or, I wanted to progress through my racing career and all that sort of very ingrained in my head of where I want to be in the future. I've not been that good at five-year plans because everything that I've done historically, miles and miles away from my actual plans. So where we'll be in 5 years, I really don't know. I just sincerely hope that Thunderbird is still great and growing and Strip Shack's doing brilliant. And I guess this is going to sound a bit sort of watery-eyed, but when I started, everyone always said, oh, how many restaurants do you want to own? I'd be like, I don't know, 500. It's sort of a meaningless number. But what I actually really wanted to create was a business that was kind of loved equally by the people who work for it and the people who shop from it. And if you've done that and built something brilliant that people love, then that's something really great to achieve. And then with the pickles, I don't know, it's growing so fast.
It must taste great. I'm now going to go into Panzer's, one of my favourite places in the world on St. John'swood High Street in North London, and I'm going to go and find, because I know it's stocked there, I'm going to go and find the pickle project and go and taste these ultrasound exploded coriander and dill and mint extravaganzas that are going to happen to me with the pickle, the humble pickle. Is the buzz for you similar to, you were describing the sparks and the smell of the sawdust on that Brands Hatch bit where you go up and down and you said you can see people hit the curb in front of you. Are there moments like that in the business? Or is it a bit more like, not quite watching paint dry, but is it a bit more things happen slowly and then you look in the rearview mirror and you go, oh, I did that?
Yeah, I would definitely say working in the pickle factory is a bit less sort of visceral and exciting.
It's less exciting than going around a corner 100 miles an hour.
I mean, I was in there yesterday, it was 3 degrees. So it's
not romantic.
No, it's not glamorous in the slightest.
So what's the buzz then?
It is, however, it is that progression. So it's looking back at stuff I was doing a few months ago and going, oh my, what was I thinking? And, learning and growing and then also seeing the sales just, that upward trajectory is so exciting. Yesterday we got some very exciting interest from a major retailer.
This is for the pickles.
Yeah. And then, we went live on Ocado in December and it's, for a business that's only been trading for just over a year. And bearing in mind, I was working one day a week on the pickles up until November. To see that happening is amazing. We still don't have a single staff member because it's all been just me or agency staff. And then my lovely fiance, Heidi, does some marketing and sales and stuff for us. But otherwise, it's basically just me listening to an audiobook being cold in the factory.
Yeah.
But the glamour is not quite the same as NASCAR driver.
But the drive, where's the drive from? That I see in your eyes, that I see when you talk about the racing, I see when you're talking about all these different things. Where's that been instilled from?
I've wondered about this in the past. I think it's probably really just distill it down to problem solving. I just get a kick out of problem solving. And with a small business, it is kind of whack-a-mole with problems. You just, every day a new one pops up, you improve something, and then something else becomes a bottleneck. And I find that really exciting. And it should be, and it is exhausting and self-destructive and all that sort of stuff. But I just...
You're really selling it.
I just love being in the deep end.
If you want to be exhausted really and self-destructive, you should become an entrepreneur. It's another great advert for being a founder.
How inspiring.
But it's the truth.
And it really
is. And what I love about the people I meet here on Jazz Shapers is exactly that. It's the story that people say. It's like, I love it, I'm driven, but it's hard. It's beyond hard. And you've got to be up for the fight. As you are going at 100 miles an hour, jiggling around in a car, it's a hurts. It's going to hurt, but it's good. It's good stuff. It's been great talking to you, Matt. Really good luck. I am genuinely going to go and buy some Project Pickles now because my wife's a massive pickle fan. So I'm looking forward to that. Just before I let you disappear to your 3 degrees centigrade factory, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
This is Outstanding by the Gap Band. And it's one that, I think the lyrics are probably quite self-explanatory, but it's for my fiancé, Heidi. Sorry if that's a bit weepy-eyed.
We love weepy-eyed. Here it is just for you and Heidi. The Gap Band with Outstanding, the song choice of my business shaper today here on Valentine's Day, Matt Harris, for his fiancée, Heidi. He talked about how he loved to understand how everything works. He talked about problem solving and the fact that if you're an entrepreneur, you're essentially playing whack-a-mole every day where one problem pops up and then another. And finally, and I love this message to all founders of businesses, he believes in building something that people are going to love. If that is what's at the core of why you do something, it's going to make it a whole lot easier, because the truth is it's really hard to build a business. That's it from Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM.
In partnership with Mishkondareya.
It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.